This is an interview between Sherry Dewan, who's a member of the League of Women Voters, and Antje Kolodziej, another member of the League of Women Voters. The interview is part of an archive series for the Urbana Free Library Archives of the League of Women Voters. And Anke DeVos, who's director of the archives here, is also with us. We're doing a series of these interviews, and we're glad that Sherry is willing to participate because she has a long history with our local league of Champaign County. Sherry, maybe we can start and tell us a little about your background, where you were born and grew up and
I was born in Alney, Illinois, the nearest hospital to where my parents lived, or where my mother lived. This was at the beginning of World War II, and my father was working in Evansville, Indiana, in the shipyard. And my mother was staying with her parents on a farm in Albion, Illinois. And I grew up in West Salem, Illinois, which is south and east of Salem.
Right. It's a Moravian community, isn't it?
Yes, it was originally a Moravian community. And we had one high school in the whole county with 400 students in it, 100 in each class, just about 200 people in the band. It was, I think, a remnant of being a Moravian community that there was lots and lots of music. Mm-hmm. And you didn't get out of second grade until you learned the soprano clef. You had to play the tonette and before you could get out of second grade and proceed to third grade.
Did that lead to your later hobby of folk dancing?
There was a lot of dancing. There was a community dance every Saturday night at the American Legion Hall with live bands, and everybody danced and everybody ate. That's how the Legion Auxiliary made its money, by cooking burgers and selling them to dancers. And we did just, I think it was the times, this was the 50s, and I think that there was just a lot more dancing. That's what we did for recreation.
Mm-hmm. When you were then old enough later to go to college, where did you go?
We went to University of Illinois.
What did you study?
Anthropology.
And why did you choose that?
I could do it.
I see.
My high school was very, very poor in everything except music and art. Uh-huh. And I was totally unprepared, although I had won a scholarship. That's why I went there instead of to Southern with all the other kids in my high school.
Did you have any particular projects that you remember when you were doing anthropology that interested you, that was especially
fun? I was really good at settlement patterns. Mm-hmm. and figuring out how people might live. Mm-hmm. And terrible, absolutely terrible at identifying potsherds and bone pieces. Never did learn all the bones.
So where did you encounter potsherds?
I was in field school one summer in Rock Island, Illinois.
Oh.
Where they were taking out, this was during the building of the interstate system.
Yeah.
And they blew up this island for rock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we were doing salvage archaeology there. And there wasn't much in the way of potsherds because it was it was a seasonal camp on the Indians that were on their way from the south up to Minnesota, probably,
mm-hmm.
along the Mississippi, and they stayed there, and there were lots of freshwater clams of different varieties in the Illinois and Rock Rivers and the Mississippi.
So it's a good food source.
Yeah, and so they had the biggest kitchen hidden in the world or something like that we dug up. So we dug up, we brought back to the university a ton of clam shells.
Uh-huh.
And I had one of the most fun things was on our way back, we had one of the graduate students had a rifle, and I was driving, and the rifle was on the back of the car, you know, the
back shelf.
That, yeah. Back shelf behind the back seat.
Yeah.
And my pith helmet and a couple of boxes that said human remains.
Mm.
One adult, one adolescent. And we pulled into a Steak and Shake in Peoria, back in the days when they had car hops and real china. And this couple of women in the next car looked at us and peeled out. So, with chili bowls flying.
Because they could read what was on your boxes. So how did you meet your husband, Edmund?
I was a member of he was a member of the Illini Folk Dance Society, which still exists, which I still attend.
Right.
And it was a good way to meet people, because you could meet them and talk to them and get to know them before you actually went out with them.
Uh-huh.
But we only dated for 6 weeks before we were engaged, and then we were only engaged 8 weeks.
Mm-hmm. And how soon did you move to Boston? I remember you mentioned it.
I got married in the middle of my junior year,
mm-hmm.
and I had to go an extra semester because I kept failing languages,
mm-hmm.
or extra semester,
mm-hmm.
and. We moved right at, I graduated in January, and we moved out there in May.
Mm-hmm.
So I had.
So what was Edmund going to be doing there?
He was going to work for the University of Illinois Arithmetic Project, which had moved out there and joined another group.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the technical editor and the artist. He drew number lines.
Yeah.
If you were of the, there was a period where number lines were very big in elementary math, and he drew them.
Did you pursue work in Boston as well?
No, I was pregnant.
Ah.
And.
So how many children did you have?
Two boys.
And so you were pretty busy with that.
I was very busy because they're 16 months apart.
Oh, wow. And were you already interested in the League of Women Voters when you were in Boston, or did that come later?
My first contact with the League was the bedsheet ballot. Do you remember the bedsheet ballot, where all the representatives, state representatives, ran at large because they couldn't decide on a redistricting map?
Oh, yes, yes.
And that was the first election that I participated in. And I think it was the Chicago Sun-Times had an insert that the league had done a questionnaire of every one, and I picked out the candidates I wanted to vote for and circled them and took that into the bowling booth with me. And it was a great, it's not something I'd like to repeat. You had this sort of crib sheet-sized ballot.
Huge paper ballot.
Yeah, and, right. And you had a shelf about 6 inches wide, right. 8 inches long,
right.
And a pencil that was tied to a string. It was only about 8 inches long.
Yes.
And you had to, and with that, my crib sheet, mm-hmm. of the vote people I wanted to vote for, and I was really thankful for the League of Women Voters, and that was I think the first time I'd had any contact with them at all, but I wasn't in no position to join.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I didn't even know that they had a local league here. It wasn't until I was in Boston, mm-hmm. where I was blackmailed into
You were doing some work with Girl Scouts at the time?
Yeah, I was a Girl Scout leader, and I needed a helper. Mm-hmm. And one of the mothers said, if I would help her with join the League of Women Voters and help her with the voter service, she would be my co-leader.
Good deal.
And so I gave up the Girl Scouts when we moved back here, but I've remained in the league.
Well, you've had quite a time in the league. You got involved with some lobbying early on, didn't you?
Well, when Reagan was elected and he tried to kill environmental legislation, mm-hmm. I got involved in the lobbying against the Broyhill amendments that were going to gut the Clean Air Act. Mm-hmm. And I organized, I think it was the 22nd District Congressional District, Ed Madigan, that later became Secretary of Agriculture, was our representative, and he was the ranking Republican. So we were important, and I organized this coalition, well, Jack Paxton and I did,
mm-hmm.
from the Sierra Club, and we had a thriving committee, and we kept after him, and he finally changed his mind,
mm-hmm.
and said that he thought that as they were, they served us well, and that we shouldn't, then he helped defeat the Broyhill amendments.
You traveled to Washington, D.C. with that too, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I lobbied twice in D.C.
Yeah.
And I also participated in a congressional subcommittee hearing in Chicago, and that was a trip because I was used to speaking before, mm-hmm. three or four microphones, mm-hmm. here, mm-hmm. but they had, I must have had 25.
A whole embankment.
Yeah, a whole embankment.
Oh my.
And Henry Waxman was the chair. And he gave this speech about how I represented the average person, and it was hard to sit there and try to look competent and humble at the same time.
There was, you mentioned another project that was environmentally involved, having to do with asbestos in
schools.
Oh yes,
the state The State League got a grant from the National EPA, from US EPA, to do education of educators and tell them about the dangers of asbestos and how they could not eliminate it, but alleviate it.
Do you recall what year situation that was about?
It was, I think, 79, because it was before my trips to Washington. Mm-hmm. I remember that. So I had, the local league got $15 for every.
Oh my.
Every school district they were in touch with.
So you would contact who in the school district?
You start with the superintendent and mm-hmm. then make appointments. And so another league member and I made a 1,000-mile tour of Southern Illinois.
Wow.
Talking to 50-some-odd school superintendents or their or whoever they had designated. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that all of them, just about, we did we talked to the superintendent, but we got tours of a lot of furnace rooms too.
Did you find them to be fairly cooperative and interested?
Oh yeah, most of them were glad to have somebody to talk to about their problems. So we heard a lot about the transportation funding, which it had gone down, and you know, the trouble they were having with repairs and just a whole bunch of funding.
So not just infrastructure and asbestos.
Yeah, we got a lot of a lot of crying on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And all except, I think, there were two districts that were not cooperative.
Mm-hmm.
One was in Fairfield and the other one was in Douglas County someplace,
mm-hmm.
where they were rude and wanted to know what we were doing and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly they were really glad to have somebody to talk to about their problems.
Mm-hmm. Were you able to convey that collection of information elsewhere?
I told the State League about it. I talked to the school's chair. And it could be that Susan Thomas, who was a member here, was the school chair. I don't know, but I know that I unloaded a lot of people's trials and tribulations to the league person dealing with that.
Well, I'm knowing Susan, I would expect she was very interested to put that to whatever use might be possible.
Yeah.
She was on
the state board then.
Yeah. She was on the state board of education, wasn't she, in some fashion?
I think so.
I don't know for certain, but I wouldn't be surprised if she was involved at the state level.
Susan Stone was on the State Board of Education.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
The other Susan.
Right. Another Susan. You mentioned that you sometimes were involved with some of the state activities.
Yeah, I was on the State Natural Resources Committee,
mm-hmm.
and having to go to Chicago every month or two to meet with the committee there.
And what did it do?
Kept track of what was going on mostly, I think. And we lobbied in Springfield for different things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was.
So it was that larger environmental concerns, and more in general scope of environmental concerns.
Yeah, we cover the whole natural resources, which governed more than just pollution control, but land use and things like that.
I remember when we were talking about your organizational skills. You had responsibility for something having to do with the local Chamber of Commerce.
Oh yeah, that was a trip too. There's a state of the state league does a state of the state breakfast every year, and Sam Gove, who was co-president with me, wanted to do one here, and we were doing it with the Chamber of Commerce, and the person on the Chamber of Commerce delegated everything to me. I mean, she had staff, and I had my portable phone on the front porch.
And Sam.
And, well, Sam wasn't any help. He was in Michigan during the summer.
Right.
And so I had to get all the leaders, the county board chair, and
this is a big breakfast.
It was a big breakfast.
And it's done, is it done annually still?
I don't think it is.
But at that time it was fairly regular.
Yeah, we did it for 3 years, 3 or 4 years, because I know I took a bunch of student members 1 year for a very bad breakfast. Maybe I'm glad that the Chamber of Commerce didn't organize the first one, because we had a good breakfast.
Better food, at least. You were president a couple of times, weren't you, of our local league?
Yeah, around 91 and then 96.
Oh, so there was a time in between.
Yeah.
This is a post that tends to rotate among, at that time, rotated between several different people or groups of people, and with repetitions often, or a continuation of the term.
Yeah.
It's always hard to get people to take it on.
It's a big job, it really is.
And you were also, vice president? Was that always preceding being president?
I was vice president for program.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the only vice presidency that I had.
There were several vice presidencies at that time.
Yeah.
The way the board was organized.
There was the program, which dealt with issues and advocacy. And then there was public relations and voter service. And I would have been terrible at either one of those.
Oh, don't underestimate. Organizing is often the cue to success in league matters, getting other people to help out.
Yeah.
And getting things timed.
I always had the help of Mary Blair.
Well, she's terrific.
She could do more arm twisting than anybody I've ever seen, I think. She was amazing at getting people to help.
Right.
In fact, she got me to be my first job when she was president back in 71, doing the Observer Corps. I was the Observer Corps chair.
Oh, before she took it on?
Well. Yeah. And I had 59 boards covered.
Wow.
And we had 400 members then, and I called every one of them that summer.
Oh, gosh.
I wore out a phone.
She's say 400. I didn't realize we'd had that many members in that time period.
Yeah, and that was before we started amping up the fee to join. Mm. It was like $15 then.
So you think the change in dues made a difference?
Yeah, I know that we lost a lot of our African American members then. Mm.
As well as younger ones who would have, everybody had restricted budgets, but if you, recruiting young people has always been a problem, which is why we've put in a student membership. You were involved very much with the student group for a number of years, weren't you?
Yeah, I helped start it. Naomi Hodgman and I sat out on the quad for a couple of years, and finally we got two members, Brittany Danish and Amanda Sonneborn. Mm-hmm. And they took off. I mean, with just the two of them and I think a couple of other people, we did a major career fair for nonprofits and government work. Mm-hmm. We did it. They got half of the, I don't know how many people to be on the panels, and we held it in the union, and people could come and pick their slot, like if they were interested in nonprofit in the sciences or in government work, or we had the chairman of the Missouri, the major nonprofit. We've got one here in town.
Was it Nature Conservancy?
We had somebody from there, but.
I'm not connecting. Maybe you'll think about it.
It's a social service organization.
I see.
The big one in town.
United Way?
Yeah, United Way. Okay. She was head of Missouri United Way.
I see.
She was the mother of one of our student members.
Oh, well, a neat connection then.
Yeah. And we had teachers and the fire chief and Brenna, police chairman, police director, whatever he's called.
And chief of police.
Chief of police, yeah.
Right.
And they were really, the ones in law were really good. Mm. And they were really happy to be there trying to interest kids in.
So this is some kind of this is a forum situation that you had at the Illini Union?
Yeah. Mm. We had like a dozen panels, and they ran for about an hour and a half.
Mm.
And a student would be the moderator.
Mm-hmm.
And students would come in, and each person would give a short presentation about what they were doing, about 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the time, the kids could ask them questions.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked out really well. There was only one that wasn't well attended. I think that was the agriculture one. And for some reason, the law one was really packed. And the social service one was pretty packed, too.
You'd think that they'd be more interested in agriculture, being that we sit here in the middle of cornfields and soybeans,
yeah,
and have a very large agriculture school, what is now called ACES. Sometimes it's just a matter of who's on the network of knowing that something's going on, or time allocations with their class schedules and things.
Yeah. And they're at the other end of the campus.
They were very much at the other end of campus at that time. It's all become much more territorially blended now, as well as the cross-disciplinary activities that the students have. So
yeah,
there's it's less separation. You were mentioning when we were otherwise talking about things that happened with the students after Katrina in 2005.
Yeah. The students tended to give one forum or some big event a year, and we had done a forum on proportional representation.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided after Katrina, how prepared are we here for some major disaster? And decided to hold a forum on disaster preparedness. Mm-hmm. And we figured our three disasters were earthquake, tornado, or Clinton blowing up.
Clinton being the power, atomic power plant.
Yeah.
And of course, we'd had internationally a history by that time of that kind of occurrence.
Chernobyl.
Chernobyl, right.
And we were pretty reassured that they were, like here in Champaign County, the police chief and the fire chief from each town and the sheriff from the county and the ESDA people from the county got together once a month to talk about who and what to respond to, because sometimes you have to make a decision about who's going in first. And it was comforting to us to know that they were discussing it and what to do, and we were reassured. But we had even people, it pulled in even people from out of town besides the kids that were getting extra credit for their professor for being there. We had it filmed, but it never got edited.
Well, you've been in the league now. We were having a celebration recently of people who had made 50 years, but you haven't had that much time.
No,
you've certainly had an intensive time with it when you were especially active.
And I served on boards and committees, like I was chair of the Urbana Bicycle Advisory Board.
Oh, well, that was for bicycle routes?
Yeah, and we got the grant to make bicycle safe grates. We had a lot of bicycle trap grates, and we got a federal grant to replace them.
Well, that's
it was the worst
considering there's some 20,000 bicycles in town.
But it was the worst time I ever had for being a presiding officer.
Really?
Oh, I had an anarchist and a Nazi.
And were they in opposition or with you?
They were in opposition to each other, and they spent their entire time just about making cutting remarks about the other one. Mm. And I was trying to get motions on the floor and decisions made.
So how did you manage to work with that?
I came down hard on Robert's Rules of Order. You're out of order.
I've always admired that you were really on top of Roberts, because in the days when the league meetings were more orderly, you were definitely there to see to it.
I gave workshops for a while on Robert's Rules. From, I know one from the Mental Health Board.
Oh.
They were having trouble not making decisions, but trying to do things in an orderly manner that would be legally binding.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave them the quick and dirty.
Mm-hmm. Were you serving on the mental health board?
No.
It was just an auxiliary thing.
They called me. Somebody was on another board where I had given a presentation. Mm-hmm.
And so your league training of league paid off in other areas.
Yeah, and trying to explain to people that they're not arbitrary, they're not made up arbitrary rules, but they're ways to get things done,
mm-hmm.
and come to decisions. And without a strong presiding officer, it's hard to make decisions.
Let's see, what in your years in the league have you felt are the strengths of the league?
Well,
as part of the community and otherwise?
Well, the thing that attracted me was that people were not afraid to get up and speak their mind at public meetings and things. And we did a lot more of that in the past, because that was where I learned to stand up in front of a crowd and not feel bad about making a fool of myself.
Mm-hmm. And have you found the league to be fairly nonpartisan, or leaning in any particular direction? Or
I think that probably in today's climate they are leaning in one direction, more members leaning in one direction, but we weren't always that way, and times have changed around us. But we still concentrate on issues rather than on party politics.
And what do you think are our greatest challenges in the years ahead?
Oh, finding new, younger members who have the time and energy to put into it.
Mm.
Because so many, our heyday was really when women weren't working very much. And you had a lot of overeducated, underemployed women.
Mm.
And they would take the bit between their teeth and run with it.
Mm. Did you find yourself active in what we called feminism in the 60s, 70s? There were a number of local campaigns of, I wondered how much the league was involved with the ERA.
Quite a bit. I remember going to Springfield to lobby, mm-hmm. on that issue.
And did that spread out to other groups that you were involved with besides
the Lions? I don't think so. The other groups were pretty much one issue,
mm-hmm.
and that was it. And they weren't interested in the environment or child welfare or education or any of the things that we do. I think that single issue problem is a real problem for multi-issue groups. Then you get somebody who's interested in one thing and they don't want to do anything else.
Well, the did you yourself get involved with any of the other groups, especially on any particular issue?
No,
we're mostly in.
I was still doing.
You were pretty busy with League.
Yeah, and I was still doing a lot of environmental stuff,
which
was coming to a head at the same time.
Right.
But I was a delegate at the League convention, the state League convention that we had in Wisconsin, because Illinois didn't ratify the ERA. We moved our state convention to a state that had.
I see. Interesting.
It was a great convention, too.
What year was that? What do you call?
It must have been 81.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm trying to think of what else you might like to talk about, reflecting on the overall picture for yourself, and what you liked best, what you liked least, or was there any particularly funny?
I hate to make
funny
phone calls.
Thing that happened?
I hate making phone calls.
A lot of us hate answering the phone.
It's always Bridget from Guard to Holder Services or someone that I hang up on. I hung up on a real person the other day, too, rather than a robocall.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to sell me a home security outfit, and I wasn't...
You weren't interested.
No. I'm of the he who steals my purse steals trash.
I find it interesting that the calls are so targeted against towards people in certain neighborhoods and certain age groups.
Yeah.
But I don't know whether that's true. Or okay. Whether I just happen to fall into the category, and I
they're trying to sell me a walk-in bathtub now.
Oh, okay.
Which I could use, but I couldn't put in my house. But I really like being a member of a multi-issue group. Because there are things that I like education that I'm interested in, but I don't want to work on it. But I'm willing to support people who do.
Mm-hmm. Currently, the local league is studying its position, local positions on the various areas of concern. You know, we have like four different categories, and. Have you participated in any of those studies?
No, I haven't.
And
these last 2 years with the brain surgery have been, and the broken back have been tough for me.
Right, but you've kept an eye on it, certainly,
yeah.
Like the rest of us who aren't necessarily in any of the groups, speaking for myself.
And I don't do computers.
Oh.
Because they give me a headache looking at them and as do these lights.
Well, your husband has been very helpful to convey messages to you, and we've always been grateful for his participation in the league. I guess finally, just thank you very much, Sherry, for all the time that you always continue to spend with the league and participate, and especially for taking your time and energy to do this interview.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. It was an honor.